He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
So you got back from Kankakee. What exactly were you doing up?
Well, listen.
We have to tell the listeners. Can I tell them? Tell them where Kankakee is. Just tell them where it is.
45 miles south of Chicago.
Okay, so it's in Illinois. Here's what I know about Kankakee. You're from Kankakee, and Kankakee was voted the worst city to live in America. The reason I know that is David Letterman did, a top 10, but he did a piece on it. Kankakee won worst city to live in all of America. David Letterman, the show, the late night show, David Letterman, sent them an awning. It was like this thing you could stand under to stay out of the rain. I mean, you know, 10 people could fit an awning, a little thing. And on top of it, it said, like, you know, late night with David Letterman, whatever. He sent this to Kankakee. Now, this would be an insult to any forward-thinking city in America. The folks of Kankakee love it so much, they cherish the awning, and then they go as a photo op and pose in the awning and take pictures of themselves.
Okay, so this was 15, 18 years ago. I'm glad you bring that up, and all that is true. And then they dipped a little bit. They burnt the awning down several years ago. Well, my buddy Dave Zanani, who's a retired police officer, he's like... He's like, Soup. That's what they call me back there. Soup, we're back up to number four. They're pumped. They're number four. So I'm gonna have some fun. Okay, so you're asking me why did I go to Kankakee? Well, remember we talked about this on the show for the World Series. I went back to my hometown for 24 hours. Well, God, it was a lot of fun. I was only there 24 hours, and 100 people I haven't seen in a while met us up at this bar called Sammy's. So you and I are doing these live shows, and we decided to, you know, to put one on film. You know, you said, hey, find me a nice venue in Illinois over the Bellator weekend. We're going to go ahead and film it, you know, see what we can do out of this. And I did find a venue in the beautiful area of Kankakee, Illinois. So I go there, and I'm gonna torch Kankakee a little bit right now, and we'll still pack the house because my buddy Vinny Crump is out there. You know, 30-year bricklayer. His hands are busted up. He's got cancer. They took out his kidney. He's out making people buy tickets. And, you know, and then I still got about 60 friends back there. They all bought a bunch of tickets. So we're still gonna have a big show. But the reality is, there is not one person in Kankakee, Illinois, that can spell or figure out how to put a podcast on their phone. And then when you ask them, when you go ahead and grab the phone and try to explain to them what a podcast is, then you grab their phone. The chances are it's not an iPhone, but if it is an iPhone, when you go to the podcast button to, you know, download the app, the first thing they ask is, does it take any data? So I don't really know that what that means, but I do know in terms of the venue. Now, this venue, we're going to do it on Saturday, April 1st. We're going to do it the night after the Bellator event, which is on Friday with King Mo and Rampage. I had the poster. You approved the poster. You said that's a good poster. I get over there. I start to promote it. I get to the venue, of which I've already paid for. Now, the good thing, it wasn't that much money. But, of course, she's like, oh, no, you chose Thursday. And it's like, well, that would have been the only day I didn't choose. And this venue, the Majestic Theater, man, it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And what they do is, I guess they just hold receptions there and stuff like that, because the people of Kankakee, Illinois, are not interested very much in like holding comics or shows like we're doing or something like this, because not only is it crazy to get them to get behind something, they just don't understand it, man. They just don't understand it. And I will tell you this, between Kankakee, Bourbonus, Bradley, and the surrounding areas, if there's anywhere on planet Earth that has more bars, I want somebody to tell me what it is, because there's a bar. There's two bars per block over that whole 20, 25 miles.
Yeah, so we're going to Kankakee, Illinois. I know this country pretty well. I never heard of Kankakee, Illinois. I'm sitting across from a guy that grew up in Kankakee, Illinois. But I mean, what, you think it's got the population to support an event like what we're doing, huh?
Oh, there's you will agree that there's no, the people are going to come from Chicago. Now I got Vinny's going to make 100. Vinny Crump's going to make 100 people coming. I got 60 people coming, and you know, another 300 or 400. I mean, we only need 125 tickets sold, and they just went on sale 2 days ago for a sellout. So we're going to sell that place out. But it's of no consequence to the people of Kankakee that we're coming, including, you know, the Kankakee Journal. I was a three-time Chicago Tribune Athlete of the Week, and we'll have an article next week written in the Chicago Tribune about this event that the genius journalist at the Kankakee Journal just didn't feel like it was a good enough piece to write about, that we're actually bringing commerce into the town of Kankakee, Illinois. But I will tell you this story. I will tell you this story. You know the global story?
The ring card girl that you invited on the show or something as part of your hustle? I know. I'm trying to remind the listeners that you invited on the show as part of your hustle, and she said, asked you about the show, is it global?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me come back to that. I have a funny story about my sister. I'll touch on that, and then we'll go to the global story. So my sister went to town. Oh, God, I have so many stories from this weekend. Hold on. Hold on. All right, let me do that one, the Dominic story, and then the global story. So my sister went to that town about 10 years ago, to Kankakee about 10 years ago, and we were pretty poor. We were really poor coming up. And everybody's made it. There are doctors and lawyers, and everybody's made it. So Zita, my sister Zita's back there, and there was this laundromat when she was a little kid. Her and Dominic had to push these big shopping carts of clothes, you know, when they were like 7, 8 years old, to these laundromats to wash the clothes. And she used to hate going to that laundromat. So her and Therese were there, man, about 4 or 5 years ago. And for whatever reason, Zita wanted to go. She wanted to go see that laundromat. And she did. They drove by it, and she looked at it. They made it about 5 blocks. They made it about 5 blocks down the road. She's, pull the car over. Pull the car over. So Therese pulls the car over, and she says, I'm going to buy that laundromat and burn the goddamn thing down.
I don't even know why that's funny. I'm glad it gave you a chuckle.
Well, because she bought it and burned it down.
Oh, she actually did it.
Yeah.
Well, there's the story. Okay, you said she said, I'm going to. I thought that was like just a statement.
Oh, no, that laundromat's not there anymore.
Oh, she did it. She followed through. Well, there's your story. Man, you buried you killed the punchline. Okay, so she actually, that is funny. All right, guys, if you want to have a good night's sleep, get yourself a Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to customers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house, and it's got a sleek design and is delivered in a small, how-did-they-do-that sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that price right on to you. Guys, in other words, you buy it online. How convenient is that? It gets delivered to your door. Here's the deal, though, okay? Because I know what you're thinking. When you're picking out a bed, because a good bed is really important, you're spending, if you're getting 8 hours of sleep, which most of us aren't lucky enough to get, but that's the average. If that's what you're getting, you're spending a third of your life on this mattress. It's important to get the right one. Here's the catch. You get 100 days to try this thing out. 100 days, over 3 months to try this thing out. If you don't like it, Casper comes and picks it up and gives you all your money back. There is no questions that you don't have to say why you don't like. You don't have to talk to anybody. Come get my mattress. I don't want it. Done. It's that easy. You don't have anything to lose. Go to Casper.com/Chael. Enter the promo code at checkout, Chael. How easy is that? Casper.com/Chael. Check out with the promo code Chael. You will save an additional $50 off. You could go get a king-sized mattress. The biggest, most wonderful. I've got one. It's great. Slept on a twin for years. Went to a queen, moved on to a king. You can't pay over $1,000 at Casper if you wanted to. For their most deluxe mattress that they make, you couldn't spend $1,000 if you wanted to. You could not go into a store and get a king, no matter how bad it was. You go get the worst outdated model you want. You're spending well over $1,000. They passed the savings of not having brick and mortar stores. Instead of mortar and brick, it's point and click. Go to Casper.com/Chael. Enter the promo code at checkout, Chael. You're going to save $50. They deliver it to your door, and if you don't like it, they will come and pick it up. You got all those nights, they'll take it away, and you get all your money back.
All right, it's March, which means it's time for the madness. And it's crunch time in the NBA. So you know we got it all covered on the Big Podcast with me, Shaq.
And we're way more than just sports, Shaquille. So be prepared to laugh, folks, as we bring you the best basketball coverage, the biggest names in hoops like Kevin Garnett, Chris Paul, Dick Vitale, Grant Hill, Chris Webber, and many, many more.
The Big Podcast with Shaq. Check us out with new episodes every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Okay. So, there was a group of houses. Now, my sister is right about this. Is she said, listen, poor white men in America cannot talk about being poor. And that is true. I listened to this story, but I will just to continue on this story. There's a group of houses that I lived in as a child. And every time we moved out, they got condemned. All right. And I hadn't really been back. I'd been back that one night and a couple other times. So I did, me and Dave Zanani were out, and I had him take me by the Euclid house. And I went by the Euclid house, and I looked at it, and they'd actually made it nice. It's still there, and they made it nice. But I could feel that feeling of, I wish I had the money, because I'd be buying this place tomorrow and burn it down the next day. So anyway, there's that story. Let's get to, so the Majestic Theater. We're in this beautiful, beautiful Majestic Theater. My friend Sherry Barron, I haven't seen her in, 15 years. I can't get her number on Facebook. I can't get her number on Facebook. So me and Vinny Crump, we go find her, and we meet her out with a group of people. Where was I going? Oh, okay. So Sherry comes and sees me. I haven't seen her in 20 years, and she's like, hey, your brother Dominic was just here. And I said, really? She was like, yeah, me and my guy went to this show at the Majestic Theater. They are honoring her dad, Barry Barron, a war hero, and my brother, because he's been so successful, and he went to that Kankakee Community College. And now she's a looker. Sherry Barron is still a looker. And she said, yeah, I told Dominic, I said, hey, I'm, one of JoJo's best friends. That's your brother. Dominic said, no, that's not my brother. That's in a different Supernaw lineage.
Dominic denied his relationship to you and got caught.
Yeah. But I didn't get upset, because I'm like, I tell her husband, I'm like, well, he had to be picking up on you. He couldn't, you see what I'm saying? He couldn't acknowledge my existence and still pick up on Sherry.
Oh, bless your heart. So you tied his deniance of your lineage into the family to him trying to pick up on Sherry instead of acknowledging that he was embarrassed.
That my brother, who's never said no to me in my entire life, that I just spent a week at his house, that he would disavow me from the family?
Yeah, see, that was almost a really sad story. I thought that's where we're going with this, and I was going to have to console you. Like, oh, no, he shouldn't deny you, but you didn't even make that connection, so we're good. Now, your friend Sherry you speak of, that you've been friends with for, is it 20 years?
Oh, no, I've been friends with her since 40 years.
Would it be a dick move on my part to say that I've been friends with you for 20 years, talked to you damn near every day, and you've never brought her name up ever? That I've never heard of her?
Well, in fairness...
Because I don't want to be a dick about it.
In fairness, you don't want to hear about anybody in this world that you do not know. Like, I couldn't tell a story... I mean, you spent an hour yesterday talking about how you're the fastest swimmer in the world and the best baseball player. I mean, you are a lunatic, bro. I mean, this is why this show works. This show should be called Two Idiots and a Microphone, or Two Microphones and Two Idiots, either way. But, Brother Dominic, you know, he disavowed. Now, I sent him. Now, Brother Dominic is also great at getting right back to you. So I took a picture of Sherry and me and said, I've known this woman for 40 years. She said I was your brother. You said I was not. ?
Okay, a couple things. First off, I don't want to be part of your idiot pact. My sister would never deny my existence. I'm not on board with that. Secondly, I hit those balls in front of you. That happened. And I'm willing to do the swimming as quickly as today.
Oh, we're going to do the swimming. We've already had 400 people request it.
Yeah. So how you could call that lunacy, it's 60. I changed my clothes and 16 seconds later, it's over. So, I think you have to give me that opportunity before you make that decision. And third off, you said Sherry and me took a pic, and I wanted to compliment you that you finally got it right.
All right. Hey, Zita, so listen, I'm not going to – Zita's a big fan of the show. Let's talk to her on the show right now. Zita, what's your brother Dom doing not acknowledging my exist? Now there is really no other reason on planet Earth that I need to get rich and famous now other than shove it in his nose. I mean, what a dick move. Zita, what a dick move Brother Dom did. Now the only way I can go ahead and give him a pass on this thing is he's trying to pick up Sherry. You know.
Yeah, and bless your heart for tying it to that, man. Bless your heart.
Well, I mean, in fairness, I don't think he also disavowed having a wife to Sherry, too. So, I mean, I think it's right there.
Well,
I
think, that detail out. I'm
burying my brother on the show. He disavowed my existence.
He said you didn't exist. I mean, there's really not a lot you could do to your brother
at this
point.
He did not say I didn't exist. He just said he wasn't my brother.
Yeah, okay. He disavowed your existence from the lineage to your family. All right. Well, I mean, if you're okay with it, then cool.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do? Well, you know, am I going to cry about it? But so anyway, let me get back to the global story. So I'm in Kankakee 24 to 30 hours before I realize this was this was a really bad idea. This booking this event as opposed to the other 20 or 30 events we could have done in Chicago was a really, really bad idea. I thought that because 100 friends came out and saw me last time, they would come out this time. No, apparently if you come back every 30 years, they will do that. But then if you come back again, they're not interested. But anyway, I'm there 24 hours and I realize not only is this a very bad idea, but nobody knows what a podcast is. Nobody has any idea. Well, young Tom Mann, thanks 5% Nutrition. He comes up. He's a big fan of the show. Young kid with this new supplement company, and he gets up there and he meets a group of us. And by this time, I'm like, listen, I need to move tickets. I need to come clean with Tom Mann that these people in Kankakee, Illinois. Now, you got to understand, they haven't changed much since I left 30 years ago. This is the same place that 150 years ago or 120 years ago was offered a train station or the University of Illinois, and they took the train station. So I got to come clean with them. Hey, brother, I need your help in moving these tickets, or Chill will torture me on the podcast for the rest of humanity. And he's like, okay, cool, I'm in. Now, he's a big fan of the podcast, a big fan of the Godfather. So we go over, we're making the rounds around Kankakee, Bourbonus, and we go to this place called TJ's. It used to be a different place. And there's a young crowd in there. There's a young crowd, the kind of crowd that listens to this show. And there's a bartender there. She's a 10. If she was 11, she could be 11. And I said, hey, get your hustle on this. We need a model for the Q and answer. We'll hire this gal. And so he goes, hey, we're doing a live show at the Majestic March 30th, 7 o'clock. It's going to be streamed, live, 2 million people, da-da-da-da-da. She's in. She's very like the global girl. When she heard the 2 million number, that got her interested. So she says, I'll be right back. And she comes back, and she says, tell me what this about. And with, like a deer caught in the headlights, young Ton Man looks at her, and the only thing he can get out of his face is the word podcast. And she looked up at him like the world had ended, and she just sauntered off.
The only part of the story that I was tracking on is that you got a perfect 10. In 11, should the scale go to an 11, Tendon Bar in Kankakee, Illinois, I would have to think if you're a 6, you're the belle of the ball and you've been married off out there. So, I mean, I'm struggling with your story from the jump. Look, here was my take on your trip to Kankakee. You go out there, and I haven't got the foggiest idea why you have to go there, but you are insistent, I have got to go to Kankakee, Illinois. I have to put boots on the ground. It's like, Joel, if you know anybody in your world that knows a thing or two about putting on a show, it's me. I've thrown over 100 of them. Scott Coker is going out 44 miles away to do mega business for the King Mo fight. He's in San Jose. So if Coker doesn't have to be on the ground in Chicago to do a show there, I had no idea why you had to, but you did. So you get out to Kankakee, and all of a sudden, I can't reach you. I start calling you at 9 o'clock Illinois time. I don't hear from you. And it's the next day at 9 a.m. Illinois time that I still can't hear from you. You've gone dark for 12 hours. And you send me a message, a text, after I'm blowing up your phone that says, I'm at the gym killing it. What's up, man? And I'm like, okay,
no,
hold on. That is possible.
I said I am killing it. By that time, see, when I woke up that day, I believed the car guy was going to get involved. The bar was going to, I believed all these people that, I told them what we're doing. They're like, yeah, we're in. At that time, I believed it. I believed it to be true.
It doesn't change my story that for 12 hours, I couldn't get a hold of you. And the first thing I hear is I'm at the gym killing it. What's up, man? ? So I finally get you to answer the phone. And if there's anything I know about your drunk voice, it's you have a drunk voice. There is a sound in your voice when you've been drinking that is absolutely undeniable. And no matter how many times I say to you,
oh, God, we got nothing to talk about. And what you're going to do is you're going to throw,
you don't know the story,
you're gonna throw marbles at me for 25 or 30 minutes. Okay,
no matter,
let's do it.
Hold on.
Let me stop you for a second, buddy, brother. Okay, let me do the 15 things to embarrass you. Here's the first one. Remember when? I'm not a narc. How about remember when? I don't lunch. How about number three? I can go on and on and on, but I don't do that, brother. You don't have to do this, but go on. Prove my point 100% that you think if we don't have anything to talk about, you can make me look the fool. Now, on the other side of that, on the same day, I got just as many things to talk about with you. I can go tit for tat with you, but for some reason, I won't. Would you at least concede that, then you can get on with your drunk Joel story and this, that, and the other. Concede that, and then you got the runway.
Your attempt to distract my train of thought has failed. I remember exactly where I was at and what I was going to say. So for 12 hours, you go missing. Now, I deduce in my own mind That the because every time you have the drunk Joel voice and I say you've been drinking, you lie every time and you say no every time. And I can never figure out why does he always deny it? He's of age. He's a grown ass man. He can go have some beers. That's his choice. But you do always deny it. So you go dark for 12 hours. So I decide, okay, he sauced up and he doesn't want me to hear the drunk Joel voice. So I finally get a hold of you the following morning and I ask you, were you drinking last night? To which you say, no. So I go, Joel, you weren't drinking last night. And then you break bad on me and start, I'm out here in Kankakee. I'm working my ass off to try to create something.
That didn't happen. You had me dead to right. Don't bring filter into the story. Don't bring filter into the story. Don't make it what it wasn't. Go ahead. But don't bring something into the story that didn't exist because
I really can't tell a story if you keep interrupting me.
It's buddy, I can bring a lot of stuff to the table here.
But I
can bring a bunch here. How about, do you remember the time?
Do you think maybe it would be helpful if I finished one story though and then you responded to it? Because you are taking for granted that our listener knows where this goes. Because you know, I've got to get the story out, or it's not out there.
I actually don't know where it's going.
Who are you texting, man?
Nobody.
It's so distracting when you're on that phone and we're trying to do a show. And then when I ask you about it, you say you're not texting anybody while I'm watching you text. It's like you being drunk and having the drunk voice and saying no. I'm staring right at you watching you text, and you just said I'm not texting anybody. You're still doing it. Are you still texting nobody that I'm watching happen? So what, he's still texting, just so the listener knows what's going on over here. So I say to you, were you drinking last night? To which you say no. So then I say to you, I go, Joel, why do you always say no? Just tell me this. Why do you deny the drinking after the drinking happened? And that's where you lose it. I'm over here working hard, and you're sitting
that
home in
happened.
Oregon, and I'm trying to create something. How dare you? I came out. This is a
never
work
happened.
Trip. So you go on and on.
He doesn't need to put that part of the story in.
The story
to tell
not
the
told
story.
Yet. You know the story.
You
the
don't
listener,
need that part of the story to tell the story. I think the story would be just as good without that part.
No, you going crazy.
That didn't happen.
To defend your drunkenness is a large part of the story. So you scream at me, and now I'm sure than ever that you were drinking last night because of your reaction to me asking if you were drinking. So you stick with the fact, hey, I'm not drinking. Now, what you don't know is that the only thing more telling than your drunken voice is your sleep voice. When you got a mouthful of sleep because you're laying in bed and just woke up, that voice is very, but we all have that. Everybody has their morning voice when they're just getting going. So you had texted me 30 minutes prior to us talking that you were at the gym, and I quote, killing it. So I can hear the sleep in your mouth. So it's like you're trying to convince me you're not lying about the drinking, even though you've gone dark for 12 hours. And what you don't know is you're already busted in the lie that I'm at the gym killing it, and I can hear in your voice you're just waking up. So I finally say, on a scale of 3 to 9, how drunk were you last night? And you go, wait, why is it a scale of 3 to 9? I go, well, the scale's normally 1 to 10, and I know it wasn't a 1 or 2, and I trust it wasn't a 10, so let's just call it a 3 to 9. Well, there was something about me asking you that you found so funny that you just collapsed and go, all right, fine, I'd say a 7. So I'm like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. So you were at a 7 last night. Now that we've got that lie out of the way, let's establish whether or not you're at the gym. To which, thankfully, you also collapsed on and go, no, I'm laying in bed. Because your sleep voice was so obvious. You know, when a bear wakes up, it's even more obvious than somebody else.
Well,
so
you're...
I had you in 2 right out of the gate. Now, you also told me for your third and final, just to pull the hat trick, that you were headed to the library. Now, that ended up being true. However, I believed the library was somewhere you were going to go to do research, print the tickets, do whatever it had to do about that town, why you had to be in Kankakee 6 weeks before a show. I believed that. I did my own research on the internet and looked up said library because I didn't think that the city of Kankakee, Illinois, would fund a library. And sure enough, I found the library The library happens to be the name of a local watering hole. It was a tavern. So the one and only truth you told me was I'm going to the library. What I didn't know is it was a bar. And now I'm getting that there was a perfect 11, as you put it, tending bar at Kankakee, Illinois, and it's becoming more and more obvious that she was probably at the library, and you had a bit of goggles on.
No, she was at TJ's.
Is that fair? Is anything
hold on, that said fair?
And,
yeah, hold on. In your investigative reporting, you forgot to mention when you have me, you have me. And you're like, dude, I've known you for 20 years. You never slept till 8 o'clock in your life. And then I'm like, okay, you got me. You got me, Dad.
Yeah, you got me.
You were like, dude, yeah, there's no way you slept till, and you were correct. I tell you now.
Did you throw up at anybody's house? Did you get to that point?
I did not. I will tell you this. No, the first day, man, I you know, everybody I talk to, they're like, oh, man, yeah, we're in. So I come by. Then they quit answering their phone.
Well, I called you.
But to my point, dude, if we have this show and I don't get Vinny there selling tickets like he is, get all my friends together, let them know, hey, this is what's going on. We show up on the 18th, and the only person's there is old Kevin Sinier.
We talked to a room full of chairs.
Yeah, so I was 100% wrong on booking Kankakee, Illinois. I don't feel bad about talking about Kankakee, Illinois.
Well, my final thought that I'll share on Kankakee, Illinois, and apparently it's a city that doesn't mind being insulted because Letterman gave them the worst city in the country, and they took it as a big honor. But I call you Sunday morning, and we're talking, and I can kind of hear like a hustle of wind in the background blowing into the phone. And you finally comment, you go, man, it's cold out. Like, we're just talking, everything's fine. And you go, man, it's cold out here. And I said, you're outside? And you said, yeah. I said, what are you doing outside? You said, man, I'm waiting for a ride. I'm stranded. And I said, well, call Uber. And you said, they don't have Uber in Kankakee. You said, they don't even have a taxi service. So I thought that told just that detail that they don't, it's not a developed of enough city. And this is 44 minutes outside of Chicago. The fact that an outskirt, a suburb of one of the biggest cities in the world, for that matter, one of the biggest cities in America, but the whole world, doesn't even have Uber yet, might be an indication.
Buddy, there's a reason that I've been back five times in 30 years.
Yeah, and why
they fooled me. They fooled me.
Why you were up and on a walk at 9 a.m. on a Sunday is a story that you've chose to keep to yourself. But if I ever get to the bottom.
What do you mean? I told you straight off.
What?
I said, I'm leaving Miss Beth's house. And you were like, well, why are you leaving Miss Beth's house? But we could say whatever we want on this thing. There is nobody in Kankakee proper ever going to figure out how to use a podcast.
So wait,
icon.
You stay the night at Miss Beth's house and she doesn't give you a lift home in the morning? But does that mean you rolled out while Miss Beth was still asleep?
Wait, she was somewhere. You know, I had said, no, let me tell the story exactly. I said, I was at Miss Beth's. Sherry's picking me up. You said, why are you leaving? And I said some thanks. And you just said, okay, I get you.
All right.
So that's why I left there. This is when you talk.
I'm still focused on who Beth is and was she at the library and blah. I'm sorry. Okay, so
she might be the mayor
of Kankakee.
She's mayor, councilwoman, or something.
How do you keep your job as mayor when David Letterman votes you the worst city to live in America? Don't you have to kind of go, you know what, I failed
at
my job.
They're back to number four. They're not quite number one, but they're back to number four.
And how do you become the worst city? I mean, I would imagine like socioeconomics gets brought into that, but is it also a violence issue? Like, do you have to have a really bad sports team and then a high level of crime? What exactly did David Letterman or whoever put this list together put as his factors for who can be the worst? Is it a weather issue? Is it a school and an academic thing? Like, what is it?
I don't know, but I got to tell you. I mean, you'll see the commerce is not that bad. The house, it looked a lot better It looked a lot better than I was coming up, but apparently whatever the number demographic is with unemployment and crime, I mean, those are unemployment, crime, and education, apparently it's good in or bad, which means high in unemployment, high in crime, and not good with education.
So they got a fair level of crime in Kankakee. Because, see, I've never known how those lists work. West Linn is voted year after year the top city in Oregon to live in. And the only time it loses, it trades back and forth with Lake Oswego. But, and I like West Linn. I mean, it's a clean city. People are nice enough. We got a Starbucks and a McDonald's. But I don't know what makes it the number one city either. It's number one for me because it's my hometown. But I don't have the foggiest idea. It's got to have something to do with the schools.
Here, this will be good. So Vinny just texted me. I need to talk to you. Can you call me back? Can we call old brother Vinny and see what's going on there?
Call Vinny.
Let's call brother Vinny.
For some reason, Vinny doesn't strike me as the guy that's going to contact you in the middle of the day with good news.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Now, let's hear what old Vinny has to say. Hey, what's up, brother? Hey, you're live on the podcast, so I just got to let you know that. Go on, what's going on?
I'm what?
You're live on the podcast. Hey, by the way, Vinny, thanks for moving all those tickets for me. Say thank you, Chael.
Thanks, Vinny.
All right, so you're live on the podcast.
No problem. Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm moving them, Joel. Couple questions. Well, I was going to ask you a question about a sponsor table.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Nobody listens to the show in Kankakee. You can say whatever you want. We've been talking about Kankakee for 30 minutes. Go ahead. What do you got, Vinny?
Hey, I'm trying to get a table sponsored by Domino's. My daughter's a manager of Domino's Pizza, so I'm going to try to fuck Sammy's. We're going to go Domino's.
Okay. You've only got two sponsored tables left, but go on. Do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, I am. And I put out there, we're going to find a place to have an after-hours drink, but it won't be at the freaking Sammy's or No Dogs, but we'll find a place.
We'll find a place, Vinny.
Vinny, why didn't you text Joel a minute ago?
Vinny?
What'd you say, Joel?
Joel was wondering why you text him. What's happening?
He just told us what's happening, Joel.
Well, I might bare-knuckle fight you, Joel, at the end of the show.
All right, fair enough. How does Domino's play into this?
My daughter's a manager there, and I thought what we might do is, maybe throw out some fucking pie for the guys to come in, have a couple slices of pie, have some beers, listen to the show, and put them up on stage, I'm trying to get some sponsors. You guys are great. I've been freaking laughing all day long. Going through all your past shows. You guys are great, man.
All right, hey Vinny, whatever. You only got two left. I wouldn't worry about that too much. You've done enough, brother. Don't kill yourself. All right? I want to thank you for everything you've been doing.
Oh, buddy. Anything for you. I'm having a blast at it, man. It gives me a purpose. I got something to do all day.
Vinny, how many tickets, by the way, have you moved?
I've moved about 75 already today.
Thank you, brother. What do you say, Chael?
Great job.
Yeah.
Great job, Vinny.
You know, you're doing... Chael's got this FCFF, and I had a partner named Chris, and the first one he ever had, Chris sold half the tickets in the building. So you're doing the same thing, Vinny. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, brother?
Yeah, buddy. Take care.
All right. So now, let me tell you what's so cool about that guy. Okay, he's just cousin Vinny making people buy tickets. But, dude, they took his kidney out. He's in the middle of chemo. I mean, this guy's nothing but tough. And he's going to sell every ticket in that building, I guarantee it.
Yeah, respect to Vinny, full respect. I'm still confused why he texted. What did we just learn from Vinny? He's going to sell a sponsor table to Domino's?
I think so.
Great. That's awesome. Thanks, Vinny.
Thank you, Vinny.
I miss Domino's. You know who used to be really high up at Domino's, Joel? This will surprise you. Steve Frazier.
The wrestling coach, Steve Frazier?
Yeah. Before he took over... that position at USA Wrestling. Okay. He was really, I want to say he was like vice president. You remember Noid, Avoid the Noid? Do you remember that marketing campaign that Domino's had?
Uh-huh.
Do you or not?
I do not.
A lot of people won't. I was very young when it was, Domino's came out when I was like 8 or 9. Domino's, they had this Avoid the Noid deal, and Frazier was largely behind that. It was one of the most successful marketing campaigns for any business ever. And Domino's also had a deal, 30 minutes or it's free. If you ordered a pizza and it wasn't to you in 30 minutes, they gave you the pizza. So
that,
I
thought that was like that forever. Is that not like that anymore?
No. They started getting burned on that. Well, don't forget the college campuses, you know, and then all of a sudden you can't find a guy or he doesn't come down and unlock the door, whatever it was. But no, they had ended up doing away with that. And I have fond memories of Domino's, but we don't really have them out here. I couldn't call a Domino's in Oregon. I don't even know if there is one. But if there is, it's definitely nowhere that I could call and deliver. So good for Vinny. He's got his Domino's, man. That's exciting.
All right. So here, I'll tell you another thing. You know how you go to somebody's, you've never been to somebody's house. Everybody's remote control works differently. You don't walk into somebody's house, grab their remote control, and just start flipping through the channels.
I have an invention for remote controls. Go ahead.
But do you agree that?
Yes.
Okay. So two things. I stayed at my buddy Dickie's house, Dickie Paraday's house, and... Why'd you do that?
I want to hear about it. Dickie, okay. Dickie's house.
All right. Stay at Dickie's house. And he went out with us the first night and the second night or whatever. So it was the third day we get to spend some time together. And he not only will he not listen to the podcast, he doesn't want to listen to it if it's playing. And I was like, you know what, Vinny? Now, I used to come down, or not Vinny, but Dickie, I used to come down to the studio and not listen to the podcast because I already heard it once. But the fact that he wouldn't at least listen to the podcast. I mean, listen to the podcast. I've known you, 40 years. Listen to it.
Humor me. Zone out and pretend you're listening.
He still won it. Okay, so, but to the bigger point is, you do agree that you don't walk into somebody's house and just start flipping channels. You don't know how to use their remote control. Well, what's that... So what's playing on the TV is the dreg of television, you know, where they get on the TV and start yelling and screaming at each other, fighting, everybody's poor. What's that called? What show?
Jerry Springer?
There you go. All right, so there's
filmed in Chicago.
There's a Jerry Springer show on, and then the one after that is Jerry Springer's his bodyguard.
Steve.
Then Steve has a show. And, you know, I'm running around, I'm doing things, I'm killing it, as you would say. And these shows are in the background. And Dickie must be embarrassed that those shows on. He's like, Joe, did you put those shows on? And I'm sitting here, I'm like, Dickie, how in the hell would I put those shows on? That's just what you watch in Kankakee, Illinois. That's all you watch. There you go.
Okay. I'm sorry that I don't know how to respond to that, man. You keep putting out turds, and I just can't shine them. But I'm glad you had fun drunk for a few days in Kankakee.
Yeah. What's the view like up on that high horse? Now you realize I got no way to win on this. We're gonna sell that place out. You're gonna say, you didn't know to go. You didn't need to go to Kankakee, Illinois. Your buddy, you know, cancer, no kidney, practically dying. He didn't need to twist everybody's arm to sell those tickets. We would have just sold it because I'm JLP. You know, you can just spin. You can spin it up whatever way you want on that high horse because you know Daddy will never throw you under the bus.
It's probably going to be hard for you to come out on top of this. Yeah. No, I would imagine they'll be complaining on my side.
Oh yeah,
my maybe, side.
Maybe this time you can show up on time and not be a dick.
That wasn't my fault. You told me that it was 7.4 miles away.
Oh, my God. No.
Turned out it was 57 miles away.
Never did I ever do that. But anyway, go on, Mr. Showmaker. Go on, Mr. Hollywood. Go on, Mr. Celebrity. Make a show of this, baby, because generally, when we're throwing a stinker out there, Daddy fixes it. Now, since I seem to be throwing a stinker out there, this is when you come in with all of your smartness and your words in perfect order. Shine it up, Daddy. Shine it up. Without cutting. Without cutting. I swear on everything I believe in, if you have to go to break, I'm going to tattle. I'm just going to start tattling. Hey, I got a tattle story.
You know, here's what's interesting about your threat to start telling behind-the-scenes jail stories, is you don't have any. It's more powerful for you to dangle the pretend existence of said story and not ever actually have to tell a story. It's more damaging. I respect that about you. I've always thought it's better to dangle something. If you wanted to really insult a guy,
you
would just dangle something out there, because people's imaginations for creativity are always five times worse than anything you could actually say about a guy. And I will acknowledge to you that your non-statements.
See, he knows. He knows.
That right there.
He knows I won't. And what's so beautiful
about...
What's so beautiful, actually,
from a psychological standpoint, very effective.
What's so beautiful about that is... Let me tell you how this plays out. First off, out of 500,000 of you, you know, because I talk to every single person that ever has ever responded to me in any way, shape, or form. And you do too, Chael. You guys think I'm going to tattle on Chael off the show. Save your time. And then somewhere down the road, Miss B's going to text me to tell her something, one of these things. I'm not, and then I'm going to be the worst person in the world again.
Yeah, but there again, without saying anything, because I would argue that you don't have anything, but without saying anything, you created me damage. So from a psychological state, you're making the viewer go, oh, wow, what does Joel know? You know, where are the body buried? What's he up to? That speculation that you just created through having, and I think
right now, it's effective. I'm going to write them down. There's one. There's two. There's three.
Oh, please. You're scribbling on a piece of
paper.
There's
four. There's four without even thinking about it.
Please.
Come on, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Man, I'm still stuck on Kankakee. I don't even know how we got there.
How we got to Kankakee? Man, I don't know. I thought I would bring some commerce to that town and they would appreciate it. That's what I thought. Come on. Save it. Save it, hot shot. Save it big time. Come on, big time. He ain't got nothing. He's sitting there shaking his head. So I will tell another story of Kankakee, Illinois, of which you will at least admit that this is the truth. So we're out boozing in old Kankakee, Illinois, and it's getting near the end of the night, and Vinny tells me that he's going to go beat up the young buff guy in the corner. Well, I don't really take this into mind, because just 4 or 8 minutes ago, Vinny said he was going to fight you bare knuckles in Kankakee, Illinois. He's threatened practically everybody in Kankakee, Illinois by this time. So I don't really think much of it. And then he wanders over to said young buff guy, and they start having speaks, and it starts to get a little heated. Now Vinny's got, Vinny is not the picture of health, okay? He's 300 pounds, and he's lost 165 pounds to get there. They took out his kidney. He's got cancer. I mean, Vinny is in tough shape. He doesn't complain. He soldiers on. So it starts now. I've got big buff guy over there in the corner with the one soldier that I do have in this town is Vinny. So I'm like, well, here, let me get over there and kind of put the squeaks on this thing. So I get over there and ask the guy, hey, you know, what's going on? As soon as I say what's going on, he jumps up and starts cussing. You MFers, I'm going to beat your ass. But he backs out. He backs far enough out, and then he starts to commence to take off clothes. He's He's got to now take off clothes to fight. Well, that's the telltale sign of how not tough a guy is. If you have to take clothes off to fight, you're not that tough.
The more clothes you have to take off to fight, the less tough you are.
Yes, and you stole my line. Congratulations. So the bartender put that, that's the end of the story. The bartender put that to bed. She was like, hey, we're going to call the cops on you. And nobody had to fight. But my point was, you don't ever have to take your clothes off to fight. If you say you're going to fight, you are in your fighting clothes.
You know, it's hard to say that you don't make an excellent point that I never had considered. I had never considered the guy that has to take off the jacket, and then he's got to take off the watch, and then he's got to roll the sleeves up. Yeah, you're right. I mean, 10 out of 10 times, that's the guy that's going to squabble the least well.
Yeah, well, you don't have to take your... I mean, for me, I was like, I really didn't want to... You know, it's late in the morning. I've been on a, you know, a couple day bender with the boys. You know, I didn't really... I figured I'm not very tough, but I'm a lot tougher than that guy was.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it didn't go down. It sounds like the buff guy in the corner didn't do anything wrong to start with. All right, guys, don't ever buy a car. I don't care if it's new or used. Don't ever do it without True Car. You're at a desktop, www.truecar.com. You got a smartphone, go download the app right now. Type in TrueCar, it'll pop it right up. I don't care if you're on an Apple or an Android. When you're getting ready to buy a car, build the car you want virtually. Type in your zip code, it will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. At that point forward, you will work with a TrueCar certified dealer. You will find that car. Most people are saving almost $4,000 off of the MSRP. There is over 13,000 True Car certified dealerships in this country. You don't have to go fall in love with an ad, look up the Blue Book price to try to arm yourself, go down to the dealership, and after a full day down there and sometimes two, leaving a stripped-down version of your dream car, making twice the monthly payment, those days are gone. Transparency has been brought to you virtually through the online world and through True Car. Joel? God, Jesus. What are you doodling, man?
What's going on?
What are you doing?
I was just doing some art.
When I do a read, I lose my train of thought. I focus it on the read. So when I come out of the read, it's important that you then have something in the business we call a segue, that you then come on with some kind of a talk.
What are you missing? About 20 minutes ago, I asked you to put a bow on this pig, and you weren't able to do it. So now... See, I can't put a bow on this pig either. And again, I quit cussing, so it's harder to go on one of my rants and yell and scream at you that everybody wants with all these different cuss words in there and threaten. Well, it's also tough that I know now I've found out I'm not that tough. So, you know, that loses that whole mystique. I got nothing here, brother. I got nothing.
Yeah, but when you demanded of me, you put a challenge clause in there, which is that we don't go to break, where I could then collect my thoughts. When I go into a read, it's 60 seconds. It's a 60-second time period where you have to get ideas together.
I did this art in 60 seconds. This is what I did. That is art right there. Nothing? Zero? You've got to admit that's pretty funny.
I will admit that's very funny, but I can't relay that to the audience. This is a radio show, so they can't see the doodle that you made. But it had 60 seconds for you to get your ideas together. You're always playing on that damn phone to either share something that came in that's of interest or to check something called the interwebs
out. Do you think if I had anything going into this day to talk about, I would not have started out with talking about my older brother disavowing my brotherhood to him. I mean, you've got to admit. I mean, I'm down for the team, man. I lay it down for this old podcast that we're doing. You know, they should not put people in, you know, for the you know, nonviolent crimes. They shouldn't put people in prison for nonviolent crimes. They should have to go do like a 6 to 9 month bit in Kankakee, Illinois.
Yeah, man, that'd probably teach them their lesson, wouldn't it? The brother thing is a big deal, but I thought we were going to have to spend this show like consoling you that, hey, man, you know, brighter days are ahead. Keep your head down. I didn't know that you had convinced yourself the reasons that you did.
Which
on one hand is wonderful because it gets us out of that. On the other hand, it's still of interest to me.
Zita, why did he disavow my existence?
Of interest to me that you did miss perhaps the mark on that. But now that I brought it to your attention in as passive aggressive and gentle of a way as I can,
there's
a more likely reason that he
dude, I asked my brother
denied
now.
Being
I asked my
related
brother, no,
to you.
You know what? I told you this years ago. You know, I said, man, there's a big upside to this friendship, and then there's a little downside. And you got to take them all together. And you're like, you know what? That's a fair point. It's the same kind of thing. This is a guy that I've asked to do 100 things in my life for me, and he's done 100 things. So if he wants to knuckle me up and get a good one on me this way, I got to let him have it. You know, I mean, he took – so I go out to Brother Dominic's when I was in Malibu. I go up to Brother Dominic's. He lives in, you know – he owns a $10 million piece of property. He's rich. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got beautiful kids. He's taking me to the airport. Then he has to take me on a tour of all these million-dollar properties that he's bought and all the $1 million that he made afterwards. And I'm like, Dominic, don't you know I've been here for 4 days? I get it, brother. You're cool.
So let's get into rumors, man. What are the rumors you have? What is it you're going to offer today's episode?
Other than laying down for it, I got a rumor that Mark Hunt versus Derek Lewis is to main event the UFC Auckland.
Auckland?
Yep.
All right, where's Auckland?
Where is Auckland?
I don't know. I assumed you mispronounced Oakland, but now I'm starting to think not. It's actually called Auckland?
Yeah, AU. I think that's in Australia.
Fine. I don't really care where they're fighting at. I'll watch that fight. I'm into that fight.
Okay.
Two sluggers like that, I like that. They don't usually put a guy with a loss coming against a guy with a win, so I don't know how much I believe that rumor, but I like the matchup.
And Cyborg versus Jermaine de Randamie is supposed to be the co-main event of the GSP Bisping.
Oh, really? Right into a title shot?
That's the rumor.
Wow. Because Jermaine was, every time they asked her about Cyborg, she said everything in the world but yes. You know, she was ready to fight. She was ready to prove herself. She was ready to rematch Holly. They said Cyborg's name, and all of a sudden her hand hurt. So that surprised me, but they're going to get that done good.
Do you blame her?
No, I don't. I did think that it was interesting. You know, you can't really demand a Holly rematch or say I'll fight, and then all of a sudden when Cyborg's name come up, say my hand hurts. You can't really mix those two together, but she willingly did. The problem with that fight, even if it's a co-main event, is the GSP Bisping card date wise has not been announced. So if those two fight, and I hope they do, I think that's the right match. But if they do, if you put that together on a date that isn't, it's just a little bit out of order. So again, as far as the rumor mill goes, I'm gonna hope it's true. Like Hunt and Lewis, I love it. I want to see it. But that would surprise me. Are those our only rumors?
That's all I got right now, brother.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Hey, give me a prediction. I mean, we do this all the time, but it changes all the time. Just give me your where does your gut stand today on Conor Mayweather? Just yes, no, is it going to happen?
Yes.
Okay. Well, since you said yes, then let me just give one backup question. Do you think it will happen on the June date as Floyd's camp is leading people to believe?
I'm staying out of that. I'm staying out of that for now just because everybody that reported it was – like, not a real reliable source. And then the only other people that kind of tied that in, they tied those sources in. I think, like, MMA Fighting came and said that supposedly they booked those that date. So I'm staying out of that until I hear from Dana White, because this fight does not get made without Dana White. That I will never concede.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no question. There's no question about that. But, you know, here is one of the things. And again, it comes back to the wrong questions getting asked. We talked about this yesterday as it pertains to our country and politics, that the wrong things are making the story. You don't get the follow-up question. Here's the number one thing they should have found out. When whoever at T-Mobile within that marketing department wanted to be the smarty pants and leak that to the media, wherever, because that's not public information. That's not a publicly held venue. That should have been kept secret. So whoever it was that leaked it, the follow-up question should have been, who booked it? That's what it should. Did the Alphabet book this, or did somebody, some boxing, the Money team, or who booked the venue? Who put the hold on it? Who put down the down payment and reserved that date? Because it is very relevant who did that. If the UFC did it to get that venue, they would not have to bring to the table what they're planning to do. They could just get that date and say, you know, it's a UFC event. We want the venue. The Money team, who is very weak and very fake, might have had to. So it does make you wonder who booked it. And a lot of times when you book venues, Joel, you may not know this. If you book a venue at a sought-after arena, there's going to be competition for those dates. And they don't just go, okay, it's $50,000 for the venue, here you go. A lot of times they will say, who are you bringing and what are you bringing? And they'll factor that in. How big of a draw is this? What can we do at concessions and parking and all the other things that these businesses have to look at? And a lot of people don't understand that those politics are at play. So somebody who booked this venue, we are led to believe, then informed the venue that it's Mayweather-Connor. Now, if you understand how the business works, you would understand the fact that they would not need to reveal that if it was Zuffa, well, the UFC. They would not have to reveal that. Somebody else of lower stature that doesn't do continued business there might have to say, hey, we want this date specifically, bump whoever you've got, give us the first hold, here's our down payment, and here's what we're bringing. So it is a little bit alarming if you're in the school of conspiracy, and I think we both are, that they would know what the main event was going to be, that would have been released to somebody that works at a venue and not to SportsCenter, where you would go to break a story like this. I think that's a little bit of interest. And why the follow-up question of simply who put down the hold for that date? That would tell us so much and shed so much light on this. But again, the most basic follow-up question you could possibly ask by a reporter who doesn't know how the business works was no follow-up question. Instead, just report that the date's been held.
Do you think when they booked that date that Mayweather had the Mickey Mouse ears on his head?
Yeah, who knows? Mayweather came out and he said something that I found encouraging, even though I know he didn't mean it, but I liked his words, where he said, let's not let anything get in the way of this, including money. Let's just go do the fight. I liked when he said it. Now, the problem is he doesn't act like that behind the scenes. It's hard to get anything done. One thing I do like about Mayweather is whenever Mayweather announces a fight, he fights right away. He, you know, he's a guy that fights a couple times a year, and there are these mega events. And I throw all sorts of shade Mayweather's way, but I go watch all his fights. A lot of what I say is because I want him to go do it more. It's a fun event when Mayweather fights somebody in the build-up in the match itself. One thing I do like about it, though, Joel, is when he announces he's going to fight, he doesn't ever go, yeah, I'm going to fight, and it's going to be in November sometime, ever. He announces, I'm going to fight. Oh, and by the way, it's tomorrow. Even when they did the Pacquiao Mayweather, from the day they made that announcement to the time they were in the ring was 9 weeks or less. You know, Mayweather fights right away. So if he was to come out and go, yeah, I'm going to fight Conor, and, oh, by the way, I'm not even going to make you wait for it, it's going to be in June, I think that's fun. That's one thing that I really like that Floyd does. When he announces those fights, boom, he goes and does the fight.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So I'm also of the mind that that's going to happen, but I am with you completely that doesn't happen without the Alphabet in there. And it sounds like they're open to it. You know, particularly when you look at the other factors that Khabib and Ferguson are getting booked against each other again, instead of just pulling Khabib and moving Ferguson in against Conor. Conor's got to have some opponent. You and I are the school that it should be Nate Diaz. I don't know if they're on board with us, but the bottom line is he would need some opponent. And if you're shelving Connor, you're moving that division on absent of him, knowing he's going to be back by June, which is right around the corner. Then we're hearing things that they booked a venue. And then we're even having Dana come out and say, hey, the date's nowhere near set. That is totally different from saying they're not going to fight. The date isn't set is totally different statement than that fight isn't going to happen. It just means the date isn't set.
So here's one thing we haven't talked about. They booked this event. If they booked this event, it's a boxing event. They're not going to have MMA on it.
Right, of course.
And then, okay. So the UFC or Dana will be a part of promoting a boxing event.
Yeah, but license for his privilege license that he holds in Nevada, that's not any different. He checks the box at the top that just says he's got the right to promote boxing. Then he has to follow the rules of boxing, which really only consists that instead of setting up the octagon, he sets up a ring. I think the standard size ring is 17 by 17. They have an actual official how big the ring needs to be. That's really the only parameter there. Everything else stays the same. What those guys go and do in there, the jurisdiction, the commission, your 6% tax, your weigh-in, your promoting, your mark, all of that stays the same. So that wouldn't create a wrinkle is what I'm offering you. That wouldn't create a wrinkle. It's like, oh, man, I got to go learn a new business. No, it's not. It's the same thing. You just have to follow the parameter of the ring.
I will offer this, that the promotion to that fight is going to be worth the ungodly amount of money that we pay to watch the fight. The promotion is going to be better than the fight.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that. Wow. Really? Really? So what drives this fight is that there could be some excitement with the promotion? It's not the fact of Connor's incredible record of 0-0 versus Floyd's record of 49-0. That's not what it is. So it's a business thing you're saying.
Oh God, just go on.
Wow.
Go on, brother.
No, man, that's helpful. That's helpful. So what you're saying is there could be an entertainment aspect by being the great entertainer of MMA versus the great entertainer of boxing. That's what they're after. Wow. Wow, I hadn't considered it, man. I thought this was just a pure pugilistic contest. But you're saying it'd be a revenue grabber.
Here, talk about that for 45 minutes.
No, man, that's...
That's amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Phenomenal?
Brilliant. Yeah. You're an insightful guy. You know, Tito was going to offer to Bellator. He had told them to make their canvas white, and they did. He paid attention to detail. Much like you. What would have we got you and Tito together? I mean, wow, that could do huge things. The complexity to the way your minds both work, the sophisticatedness.
Well, I got nothing, brother. I got nothing. I've brought nothing to the table
today.
Yeah,
I was going to say, what do you think? You delivered a whole lot, and now all of a sudden the bucket is empty?
Well, but the good thing is you've got a fall guy on this. You've got a fall guy on us not having anything today. You can blame it on me. I'll sit over here like a champ and take it.
I don't feel like we didn't have anything. Look, some days news breaks and some days news doesn't break. Either way, we come in and we produce content.
Say something nice about me. You haven't said anything nice about me in 6 months.
I'm glad you're back. Okay, I'm glad you're back from Kankakee.
I guess that's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
You're sober and you're upright. But those are perks.
Those are perks.
Dominic loves you.
Oh, yeah.
You did nothing wrong. Do you know that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dominic doesn't love me.
No, you did nothing wrong.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry he denied your existence.
How's my fake cry?
That's a weird, weird thing that happened, but it wasn't your fault.
Dominic. Love you, man.
Joel has pushed himself away from the microphone. He is texting and watching a commercial on TV. So in other words, he is of no use, which in many ways has been the most helpful thing he has done for today's show. And with that, until tomorrow, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Love you, Dominic.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
I'm Rob Cesternino, the aptly named Rob Has a Podcast, where we're creating fun, smart conversation around reality TV games like Survivor. And this March, Survivor Game Changers is finally here. Join me weekdays for episode recaps, player interviews, and of course, your feedback. So if you're ready for a game change in your own Survivor experience, download Rob Has a Podcast at podcastone.com on the Podcast One app or subscribe on iTunes.